saving money on all your electrical needs at Menards. From wire, tools, testers, and more, Southwire is the perfect choice for your next electrical project. They offer innovative products to help you get your project done right. Hurry in today and save big on all Southwire products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Let me throw something in. I'm wondering, Tony, you bring up a really good point that this is all that these people know in this age group. I'm wondering if, and obviously, Rob, and I know you're not a psychologist here, but I'm wondering, are these trauma responses? Are we putting these young people in such a state that they're always in this fear mode, that their cortisol is just going crazy? They are always in this looking over their shoulder kind of mentality. So they're always looking for the next threat. And they're not actually just taking a breath and able to relax, that they're always...
Everything's a threat. Everything's like a imperative, you're going to die threat almost.
Exactly.
And it's not.
It's not in reality, but in the echo chamber of what they're consuming, it is. And some of it is. So, you know, I have kids in this age group. You know, my daughter is 27, my son's 25. And, you know, so I hear from them because they're very healthy, well-adjusted, to have great things they're doing in their lives, and they love everything they do every day. But all their friends, and they're online because both my kids do online gaming. I do online gaming. Yeah. I hear some of this myself when I hear stuff. And you know, so there's a lot of fear in this generation, fear of not being able to afford a home, fear of the cost of living has skyrocketed. My son and I have long discussions about this compared to when I grew up. And I grew up with my parents. I'm first generation professional. My parents have never been to college. You know, they're very low end blue collar. Yet, you know, we always made things work. But this generation has a different kind of fear that is not, that wasn't present. I mean, so they're even saying that this is the first generation that doesn't have the same hope that we knew of, that we'll be better off than our parents. This generation doesn't feel that nearly the same. And also, a very scary stat came out. I saw last week that was posted generationally. Each, you know, whether it's the traditionalists, boomers, Xers, millennials, and the Ys, they each generation declines, or I should say increases in the rationalization that there are some times when violence is warranted when you don't believe in what's going on. I think it was 56% of the current young generation believes that at some point violence is okay when you don't believe in something, or when something goes awry. And something like the Xers, like me, we're up at like 90%, you know, think that's like bunk. Yeah. But down here, it's like 56% of that generation think at some point violence is rational. That's why we saw Luigi Mangione, you know, in New York City. You know, we saw it with the first Trump assassination attempt. We see it with the sad killing of the students at the church a couple of weeks ago in Minneapolis. You know, this is a generation. Talk about the violence, you know, the proclivity for it. Well, because a lot of them, by averages, think it's actually justified. And when you get an echo chamber of that groupthink online where they're all saying certain things, and again, no one's going, I haven't experienced it, and I do a lot of online stuff. No one is intentionally thinking we're radicalizing or thinking about what they're desensitizing each other towards these statements, these behaviors. I mean, so here's an example. We don't know all the details, but this guy was in Discord. I'm on Discord. I got I got my account in Discord. And when you're in group chat and thinking in here and you're pontificating, you know, people are making funny jokes or whatever, and they, you know, can be extremely inappropriate, can be extremely violent sometimes. And when no one's reacting or showing kind of, you know, the vitriol against something you said, you're just like, oh, that must be justified, so we can keep going. I mean, so it just, I think
and we didn't have that in the past either. We didn't have communities where you could, suddenly connect with a bunch of disenfranchised people and everybody can commiserate on, you know, whatever you feel disenfranchised on. I mean, it could be anything. It's not just the, you know, radical Islam or this or that anymore. Like, people can feel disenfranchised in almost anything. And then it gets to these echo chambers. I mean, those sort of things. I mean, What is the answer to that? Is it, you know, do the platforms themselves bear more responsibility for allowing these things to fester on their platform in the, you know, in the name of free speech? I mean, is it free speech? I mean, there's just so many things. We're obviously a country. We don't like rights being taken away. We don't like, you know, being told we can or can't say something. But in the same breath, our country is the first to say, you're completely wrong. You shouldn't be able to say that. And I should be able to say what I think, and the other side saying you shouldn't be able to say that.
So I got an argument of free speech. I thought about this so much, and I finally got a solution. But I don't know if anyone's going to do it, because here's what it takes: it takes some radical courage to do.
Yeah,
it's got to. So we can't things that don't work. We can't do. Because it's just a waste of time. You know, telling companies to stop doing X, Y, and Z, that never works. You know, no control, that never works. Nothing ever works, right? And so you keep getting down to the root cause. That's why I really dug deep to figure out what was the root cause of this guy's motivation, potentially. And that, I think, curiosity died. So in a way to prevent curiosity from dying is you got to instill or never crush. In other words, you don't have to start doing something. It's easier just to stop. In other words, you don't have to start to try to reinvigorate curiosity. We're all imbued with it. Stop crushing it at a young age. And so if our leadership, both sides, all sides, here's the other thing. Tony and I were going back and forth this weekend. There's two terms I don't want to hear for another week. I don't want to hear Democrat. I don't want to hear Republican. I'm so sick of hearing those words. It's driving me up a wall. I want leadership in big corporations, in government, and everywhere. I want people at the top, because it all filters down. It comes from these inspirational people. Just get curious. Stop poking fingers. Stop accusing. Stop saying someone's right or wrong. And just ask a question. So a lot of things Charlie Kirk stood for, a lot of people are against. But he had glimmers of doing some right things. Like I said the other day, Bill Maher will do the same. People on both sides will do very similar things. They will ask the Socratic method. I mean, Socrates did this. It's called the Socratic method. We're talking thousands of years ago. You know, this is not new technology here.
Yeah,
this is getting curious about understanding what someone thinks and how they came up with it. Because when you walk a mile in someone else's shoes and try to understand how they got to the point there are, your mind's going to be actually opened up. You know, and here's a great example. So here I am. I'm about to go on the broadcast on Fox earlier today. And the person before me, I mean, I'm surrounded by sticky notes. I got notes all over the place.
Yeah.
Because here's what happens. Someone says something before me that, wow, I had not heard that term before. And my initial reaction was, no, that's kind of a weird term. I don't like that term. But my initial reaction used to be that. But my reaction is I wrote it down. Mm-hmm. I got to research that. When I read a book that I haven't heard a term, especially if I don't agree with something because of a prior experience, my first reaction from years ago would be, oh, that's not right. I'm right. My reaction now is, I love those moments because I'm going to figure out what that means. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you, I had heard about Turning Point USA. I had never done a deep dive. I had heard of Charlie Kirk. I saw him all over TikTok. I never dove deep. What do you think I've been doing the last 3 days? What probably a lot of us have been doing.
Yeah.
Everything associated with all these things, all these different optics, and then reversing the context. Why are people saying this? Why does one side say this? Why? I mean, I have got all these different optics coming in. So I can try to assess what's went sideways. And from all these different optics and angles, it really still boils down to our genetic biology of curiosity being vacant.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish more would look at it the way you are, the way I am, the way a lot of people, some people are looking at it that way. Unfortunately, I feel like people are looking at it going, I hate, I agree, I disagree. And they're not looking at it from that bigger platform of why do they feel that way? And try to understand it. It's just, I want this, and it's two thoughts. But for the most part, I think people are capable of one.
Here's a great example for it. And you know, I'm a vast reader. I probably read too much, although my wife, I think, reads even more. So I remember years and years ago when they started, you know, when people started accusing people of being fascists and Nazis. And matter of fact, you know, I consume a lot of information surrounding World War II. And you know how I got into that? Those terms. When people started accusing someone of being something, I didn't take it from the surface of what was being shoved down my throat. Mm-hmm. I did a deep dive. What's that actually mean? So I have read, I probably read 10 books on the Holocaust from survivors. I have read Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, which is a huge volume of book that takes place from Hitler's birth all the way up through the Nuremberg trials, written in the 60s. What else? I mean, oh, then I've read, I Flew for the Fuhrer, which is the story of a Luftwaffe pilot, for the Nazi Germany. That's a unique thing because the Luftwaffe pilots had no idea what the hell the Nazis were doing on the ground. They were just battling in the air. Then I read Reverse Context. I read Masters of the Air from the reverse angle from the, 108th Air Force from the U.S., what it meant to fly during that. I mean, what I'm hopefully exemplifying here and talking about is when someone says something, explore it.
Yeah.
Just do a deep dive. So that way it helps me understand your context when you say something. And then I can actually assess, all right, is it because they did a deep dive, a deep understanding? Is it a surface consumption of this? Again, without judgment, just so I kind of see where you're at, where I'm at. So we just take in all this information and data so we can really make better informed decisions on how to engage someone in a healthy way. That's it. Oh my gosh. How hard is it to just freaking consume it? Oh, it's another great example. I've read, there's two books on two great biographies on Elon Musk. I mean, this is years ago. I got into Elon Musk, not for or against. This isn't about this isn't like promoting or not promoting something. This is about understanding. So, Ashley Vance is the one that wrote the one on Elon Musk. I think it was in 2014. Really good one because it wasn't sensationalized as much as one that came out by Walter Isaacson, who I actually love as an author. So that picked up on him. When J.D. Vance was tapped to be Trump's vice president, first thing I read was Hillbilly Elegy, long before he got into politics. That's a good book. Sure. I mean, and it's just – so this is what we should be doing is just consuming information to get a deeper understanding of people. Boy, I can really go on. I'm sorry.
No, we end up consuming –
Stop apologizing.
We end up consuming just so much junk. And then our brains, like for things that actually matter for decision making and getting along in a society with one another, it's like it's already been filled with this. And by the time we need them for that, I'm too tired. I'd rather look at that. And the algorithms are designed for that. And it's getting worse with AI just to feed us exactly what we want to see. And I will say this. I mean, this is a time where you said leadership. We need leadership. Yeah. We need the temperature tamped down. We're not in a good place where you have a leader saying, I don't give a damn about how this country heals. You should. It's your fucking job. You need to give a damn. We all need to give a damn.
We all do, yeah.
About how we feel about this. And it's not Democrat and it's not Republican. Everybody should give a damn about how we figure out how to go forward. I don't have to agree with anything you say, but all I ask is that you should give a damn. Everybody should give a damn for the sake of each other.
I just understand why you said it. You know, what caused you to say it? Again, it's just not about agreeing with someone, you know, a lot of times. It's just about understanding. People just want to be heard. Yeah. They just want to be understood. They don't need to be agreed with. I mean, that's a benefit of it sometimes, but it's just want to be heard. Think about how many times I do this all the time. I always say you don't plant seeds with people by telling them what you think. You plant seeds with them by asking them what they think. And so I use this analogy all the time when I'm doing seminars. So you say you have someone that watches CNN and you say you have someone that watches Fox News. Two diametrically opposed people that would probably never agree on anything except that the sky is blue. Maybe. And so
maybe.
So say someone from Fox News says to me, here's what I think. And my immediate reaction is going to be, that's not what I think. Battle back. You know, I'm going to try to convince them that I'm right and you're wrong. I mean, just sit here, listen to this. How ludicrous does that sound? Do you think you're going to make any, do you think there's any argument you're going to make in your own brain that's going to inspire? Because remember, what's the goal here? Is the goal to change their mind or is the goal to get them to think a little differently?
And that's what we need more of.
And here's what you do. It's really simple. Instead of saying, here's what I think, you say, wow, that's really something pretty interesting. I hadn't quite considered that before. How did you come up with that?
Yeah.
And then as they're sharing with you, their brain is now saying, wow, this person is listening to me. And then when you listen to them, it's not like you have to agree with them. Then you say, wow, that was really interesting what you said. I'm curious. What do you think about this idea? And now what you're doing is you're asking them their opinion about what it is you wanted to tell them in the first place. The likelihood they hear your words compared to before, 100%.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Just ask a thought or opinion.
Yeah.
You know, and what you're describing here, I think, could be used in any relationship. It's not just an adversary, but use it with your significant other, especially if you are not communicating, not having that connection. Step back a second and re-engage differently than what you did before.
We're all learning my interview strategies and interview strategies to recruiting sources, all based on this case. And so, here's the glass half full Robin always has. I think this case, from the tragedy of loss of life, I do see a lot of there's potential for a change because it has gotten a lot of attention. I mean, I'm analyzing that because this is really kind of profoundly interesting that this one assassination attempt of a young man is having such a worldwide, profoundly huge impact and it's created a dialogue. And what I'm hoping is that people are diving deeper on, like what we're doing here, is trying to understand what caused it and what could prevent it. Yeah. And it's not the ideology of either of these people that is the right answer. What is the proper answer is the fact that curiosity could have solved it. That's it. Just be curious. You know, so if you believed in the ideology and the beliefs of Charlie Kirk or not, I think not all time. There's many instances where he asked those questions and he modeled that way. And there's times when he didn't as well.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people out there. If we're looking for positive confirmation bias in our own selves in the world around us, let us seek out those people that are having those moments of brilliance by asking those questions in that way and being curious. Because we're all doing something right, we're all doing something wrong. Focus on those moments, model those behaviors when we're engaging other people, and you're going to start seeing things calm down. Because when you start arguing what you think is right, you can suspend your own ego, vanity, and sense of superiority. You'll be amazed at how well we can communicate.
I completely agree. And I think we'll leave it on that. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. As always, thank you so much for your insight on this. It is invaluable, especially right now. I think we'll wrap up the today's program on all of that. Let us know your thoughts in the comments section. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you are watching us or listening to us on any podcast platform or on YouTube or wherever it may be. We do greatly, greatly appreciate that. For Robin, for Todd, for Stacy, I am Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.